San Bernardino County. And I thank you for inviting me to your program this afternoon. I just want to share a few thoughts with the radio audience this afternoon about the Men's Day celebration that we had at our church this morning. Now, Men's Day is the annual event that allows our church to recognize the men of God, allowing us to demonstrate the effectual and the powerful love that God has given us that obviously has changed our lives. I do pray that all the men under the sound of my voice stand tall and stand firm in the Lord, living your life that is accountable first to God and then to others in the society. Our theme for today's service comes from the scripture, 2 Corinthians verses 5 through 10. Excuse me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, which reads, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad." Men, we shall all be motivated to have a primary desire to please God in everything that we do. And if you are pleasing God, you are showing your love for God and following that wonderful commandment that Christ gave us in Matthew 22:37. When he was asked by the scribes, "Which is the greatest commandment of all?" Jesus answered them so persuasively and so simply, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." But Jesus did not stop there. No. He desired for us to have a complete picture of our relationship when he continued in the next verse saying, "And the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." Men, we all must appear before God's judgment seat and be judged accordingly. What we do to others, whether good or bad, but I want you to understand this, that we are ultimately responsible to God. He is the one and the true judge over all. Finally, let's continue, men, glorifying God by doing good to others, being accountable to one another because of our love for God and our love for each other, thus doing what is good to others. By doing this, men, you have stored for yourself eternal value for when you go before the judgment seat of God. Remember, we are our brother keepers. God bless.
Yeah, we pray. Our Father who art in heaven, once again, you've blessed us beyond our understanding, Father. Not because we've been so good, Father, but only because of your mercy and your grace. And we say we thank you. We thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your kindness. We thank you for your sovereignty, Father. Lord, we bless your holy name. Father, you ask to forgive us for the sins that we've committed, those known to us and those unknown, Father. We ask you to continue to bless us, bless Studio W. Buzz, Father, who station who is out proclaiming your word throughout the nations, Father. We ask you to have it go even further than the nations, that it may go out throughout the world. Father, hope is alive that we're on right now. We ask you to continue to bless and strengthen this program, Father, as we go out and proclaim your word. Father, we ask you to bless our pastor, Dr. Michael Andrew Owens, and New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, and all churches, Father, that are open in your name. We ask you to remember those who are sick and shut in, who cannot come out and worship with us, Father, a special blessing of love and for them, and those who have lost loved ones, so many of us, Father, going through this. But we know, Father, that sure as we live, one day we have to cross that threshold. Father, the most important thing is that we're prepared. Lord, we ask you to comfort those, Lord, who have lost loved ones. And we thank you for this blessed day that we've had with the men's celebration. We ask you, Father, to strengthen the laymen of New Hope Missionary Baptist Church, that we may be the leaders that are pleasing in your eye, Father, so that we may set examples for all others, Father. We just say bless all churches. Father, remember our government. Father, give them wisdom and understanding how to handle the things that are going on in our nation and in this world, Father. They need your guidance and wisdom, not just their own, but the Holy Spirit wisdom, Father, coming from you. Lord, we just ask you to do this for us. Lord, most of all, we just thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, who died upon Calvary for the remission of our sins. And now, Father, still let your right hand interceding for us. And we thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
I just wanna make it to heaven. I just wanna make it in. Oh, I just wanna cross that river.
My Lord,
I wanna be free from sin. Oh, I just want my name. Written in the Lamb's book of life. Yeah, yeah. And when this life is over, woo! I just wanna have eternal life, Lord. Oh, I wanna hear you say, I wanna hear you say,
our men's ministry today, and we do so in the preaching of the word with the gospel according to Matthew chapter 12, verses 29 and 30. Matthew 12, 29 and 30. Or how can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods, unless he first binds the strong man, and then he will plunder his house? He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters abroad. How can one enter a strong man's house and plunder his goods unless he first binds the strong man? I want to use the theme this morning, a strong man's house. A strong man's house. Jesus is trying to make a point about who he is among a gathering of friends and enemies who are arguing with each other about where his power and authority comes from. They have just witnessed him perform another miracle, the healing of a man said to be possessed with a devil, a spirit so demonic that it kept the man from being able to see or to speak. The scripture does not say just how Jesus chose to heal this time, whether it was a touch or but a word. We just know that it was so amazing that some of those watching him were inspired to ask, is not this the son of David? Linking the miracle and this man, Jesus Christ, to the house of David meant the people discerned that there was something so divine about Jesus that he could very well be the Messiah, the one sent by God the Father to be the savior and deliverer of his people. They were looking for the answer to their prayers, and they saw them fulfilled in Jesus. They were looking for the real thing this time, and they began to hope in Jesus. But not everyone saw him the same way. They were not in one accord of praise for his mighty act. The Pharisees had already held a council to decide how to destroy Jesus after he healed a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. Pharisees, those uppity religious leaders who believed they had all the answers to everything, said to those who were awestruck by Jesus' words and deeds, they said, "This fellow is only able to cast out devils because he is a devil. He's the chief of devils, not of the blessed house of King David, but of the house of Beelzebub, the prince of demons." The Pharisees, you see, were tired of seeing Jesus win over multitudes and whole cities empty out to follow him. So they employed the age-old tactic of divide and conquer to hold in check the numbers of people who might believe and become his disciples. Jesus, who is usually willing to let his actions speak for themselves, chooses this time to step into the ring with his adversaries and weigh in on the debate over who he is. Son of David, the blessed king of Israel, or son of the devil? Here is one of the main points of the message today. The kind of life you live, whether it be a good life or it be good for nothing, wholly depends on what you decide about Jesus. Over the years, many cults have sprung up. Cults are basically small religious groups devoted to a person, idea, or movement, usually extremists in their views, and under the authority of some charismatic leader claiming to be divine. A lot of cults look and sound like they are Christian, and their followers often lure people away who are weary of traditional religion and want something different. But one sure way you can tell if some new movement is on or off track is what their teachings say about Jesus. Some of them say he was a great prophet, but they make the chief spokesperson of their religious movement a greater prophet than Christ. Some say he was a man, but not God, and surely not the Son of God. John set the record straight. We have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwells in him and he in God. Jesus got into the debate with the Pharisees to settle the debate over whose house he belongs to. He said, if I was of the house of Beelzebub, I wouldn't be casting out devils. If Satan casts out Satan, how can his kingdom stand? Jesus said, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God. That's how the kingdom of God now comes to you. In other words, since I have made it clear whose kingdom I represent, it's now up to you to decide whether you are with me or against me. It's up to you to take a stand. When Jesus healed this demon-possessed man, he cast out the devils, and the Spirit of God took over his house. A blind man became a seeing man. A dumb man became a speaking man. A weak man became a strong man. Jesus uses the illustration of a strong man's house to show us how he is trying to build the kingdom of God with those who declare by faith that Jesus is Savior and Lord. That faith is the foundation on which any house that stands must be built upon. He has talked about it before, how a house built on sand can't stand the test of storms that come against the house. Your house, that is, your life, your faith witness, must be built on a solid rock, and that rock is Jesus. As Jesus aggressively steps up his evangelistic campaign to win over believers for the kingdom of God, we learn some things about being on the Lord's side as he talks about a strong man's house. First of all, we learn a strong man's house is not divided. Jesus Christ must be Lord of your life without competition. You cannot serve two masters. Jesus said, you are either for me or against me. You have to welcome the Spirit of God in your house and give him free reign. When Christ is Lord in your life and in your house, the word of the Lord is the wisdom you seek for making decisions. The example of the Lord is the model you use for ordering your relationships. A strong man loves his wife as Christ loves the church and gave himself for her. He provides for his family. He does not waste or squander the blessings of the Lord that he needs to take care of his family. He's a lover, not an abuser. He protects his family from evil influences and offers guidance to keep the family on the right track. Like the Lord, he is faithful. He does not abandon or forsake his responsibilities. Secondly, we learn that a strong man whose strength is the Lord will not allow himself to be bound. To be bound means your life is out of control because you have surrendered control to the enemy of your soul. Sometimes, rather than seek help, we compound our mistakes by becoming comfortable with the errors of our ways. You may have been weakened by unwise choices, bad decisions, self-destructive habits and addictions. immoral lifestyles or toxic relationships. But Jesus offers you the grace to start over and live by a power that heals rather than handicaps. You give him your mind, and he will give you his mind. You give him your heart, and he will give you a heart touched by God. You give him your soul, your complete surrender, and he will give you an extreme makeover from the inside out. If any man, if any person be in Christ, he or she is a new creation. You see, the devil wants you bound so he can tear up your house, destroy your family, and spoil every blessing God means for you to have. He wants you to forget who you are to God and that Jesus has claimed you for himself. Romans 8:14 says, "For those who are led by the Spirit of God, they are the children of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, meaning Father." The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. I tell you, a strong person knows who they are in God and will not allow themselves to be bound up again. By the power of God, a spiritually strong man puts away childish things. He thinks and acts like a godly man. He takes responsibility for himself and the physical and spiritual security of his house. You make sure, whether you are a boy or a man, a girl or a woman, make sure that there is somebody in your house that do love Jesus, and that somebody is you. Not every house is blessed to have a strong man in the Lord, the head of the house, but whoever in the house loves the Lord, that's who God is going to work through to claim the whole house and to have his will be accomplished. There's an old Negro spiritual that goes, "Talk about a child that do love Jesus. Here is one. Here is one." Don't underestimate the power of one in the house to save the whole house for Christ. Long ago, one strong man thought it not robbery to claim the whole house for God, and declared to the nation, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Finally, a strong man's house will be full of whatever good things the Lord gathers for his kingdom. Jesus said, "He that is not for me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scatters abroad." Flip that around, and it means whoever is for the Lord gathers with the Lord and is not scattered abroad. To gather with the Lord means I can enjoy in my life whatever belongs to Christ. Too often we miss out on the blessings that belong to us, messing with the wrong stuff. Whatever belongs to God, he has commended to the Son. And what belongs to the Son, we receive by inheritance in Jesus Christ. That's just highfalutin theological language for saying what we've been singing aplenty about in recent years. What God has for me, help me, Holy Ghost, is for me. My God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. God is rich enough in his blessings that you don't need to spend your life chasing after this world's goods. If you want your life and your house to be filled with good things, fill it first with the Spirit of God. Fill it with the Word of God. And fill it with prayers to God. Fill it with God's peace, and nothing that comes against your house will be able to destroy it. Jesus built his house, that is the church of God, on a rock, and that rock is Jesus himself, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against him. He is the rock of our salvation. Be strong in him. Rest in his word. Stand on his promises. He is our sure foundation. He is not some distant observer. He walks with me, talks with me, tells me that I am his own. The joy that I have in being in him is my strength. And in that strength, oh yes, storms may rise and winds may blow, but in the strength of the Lord, the strength the Lord gives me, my house, your house, shall stand. God bless us to have a strong man's house. Glory be to God. Hallelujah and amen.
Now, the invitation by Reverend Walter Williams.
I invite you today to let the Spirit of the Lord in your heart. For if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Christ was sent to be the Savior of the world, that he lived and died and rose again, if you believe the report concerning this Jesus, Son of God and Savior of the world, then you too shall be saved. Saved from destruction by the storms of life, saved from any condemnation for sin, saved from eternal damnation, to have life in a glorious covenant, communion, fellowship with God himself now and forevermore. You have but to believe it and receive it, for God has promised it. We trust that you have been impacted by the word, inspired by the word, brought to place of conviction, commitment, and dedication by the word. And if that be the case, we celebrate you now. We celebrate you as part of the family of faith. We celebrate you as a citizen of the kingdom of God that the Lord Jesus has secured for himself. And we pray that each day your decision will be confirmed and affirmed, that your decision will be buttressed by continuing to study the word, by continuing to pray to God for his peace and his power, that his authority over your life to claim you as his child might have no further challenge, no further competition, because you have decided to make Jesus your choice. If that is the case and you'd like us to know of your decision, we welcome you to join with us in fellowship at the New Hope Missionary Baptist Church. Our phone number is 909-886-2522. Somebody will tell you the phone number for it. Over. I don't have to call it, so I don't know it. But I do know the number you can call on high. That's Jesus Christ, the Son, the Savior. Take him to be yours, and he will be the God who fulfills his promise in Christ. Be your God, and you his child. In the name of Jesus, you have this victory. Amen.
Thank you.
We sincerely hope that you enjoyed our programs today. You just listened to Hope is Alive with our very own Dr. Michael Andrew Owens. Prior to that, it's the Gospel Explosion. Please join us each and every Sunday right here on the Studio W Buzz Network. And if you're in need of a church home, you're looking for a church home, a welcoming home, a thriving church, a church that believes in the word, you want to contact us at 909-887-2526. Again, that's 909-887-2526. 887-2526. And join us on the website, studiowbuzz.com. Please subscribe and leave a comment. Amen. 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 And now it's Meet the Press. Dr. Michael Andrew Owens, good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, good afternoon. It's sunshining in Virginia and shining in Florida. Florida. I ain't in Florida, I'm in California.
Oh, man.
It feels like Florida.
I bet it's a little warm here too today, but I'm sure not as warm as Southern California. Wow, wow. We're probably in the lower 90s here, but the humidity is up just a little bit. But anyway, I'm going to not keep you too long, sir, but I do have some questions for you. You know I do. Okay. Now, I understand, Dr. Owens, that the 111th church anniversary was a great success. What was so special about the celebration this year?
Well, I think what was special in the first instance is that we had it at all. Given this environment, you just never know what you're going to be able to pull off. And with people continuing to come out to worship as well as join us online, we were really able to go ahead and have a very festive, good time. And we no longer celebrated on just one Sunday because after 111 years, that's too much joy to contain in one Sunday. So we have two Sundays. Yeah.
I know that's right.
The Sunday of celebration is usually in-house. So we had a worship service at 9:30 like we regularly do, and gave out some special recognition. We have a New Hope Spirit Award that we give to someone who really represents the spirit of the church and the spirit of God, and a Rising Sun Award for an up-and-coming young person who has been outstanding in their service. And then in the afternoon, we had three other preachers join us in preaching Jesus from the Gospel of the Bible. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and three other pastors joined us from sister churches who brought their congregations, and that was really special. The next Sunday, we had worship at 7 a.m. like we used to, and then we had worship and fun and fellowship for families at the AMF bowling lane. And I think that was a big surprise to people that we could have worship and family fun all in the same place, all under the same roof, in a place meant for something else. But we sanctified that place. We prayed the Holy Ghost up in there. And I don't know if them bowling balls are staying on the lane anymore or not. Never be
the
same, I tell you that.
I believe that. You know, I tell you, in this season, Pastor, you know, when churches, as we know it, I mean, they're experiencing change like never before. What should the church be known for, no matter what the conditions in the world around us?
Well, the world has been changing since its creation. So the fact that we have to be a part of change in our culture and in our society is nothing new for the church. And so the church has to continue to be who God called it to be, and that's a vehicle for introducing the world to Jesus Christ, teaching his word, and being a witness to his salvation. Now, because times change, how we do that may change, but the message remains the same because Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So we got to keep on being the church even when we can't have church in our building. And even when church in our building has to be much different, we still serve the same Lord. And so when you have that focus, the church is not compromised in who it is because of culture. The church must continue to speak to culture to become the kingdom of God rather than just the kingdom of this world.
Amen, amen, amen. Hey, speaking of social consciousness, do you think it is important to be as socially conscious today as the church has been in the past?
Oh, absolutely. Because Jesus himself, when he began his ministry, his public ministry, he made it clear that he was going to challenge the social order and the political order according to the prophecy of Isaiah, which said that he was going to put the government on his shoulders. And to me, that means that he was going to always speak truth to those who thought they were in power, speak truth to those who govern over other men that they and women, that they would do so with love and dignity, respect, with ethics, with morals, with integrity. And our society and its government has gone so far afield from that and has become so immoral and so unethical and so uncaring about the average person that the church cannot afford to be silent anymore. We have to always speak up and stir up the consciousness of people that there is a better way, a more excellent way to have government, and that government can still reflect a heart like unto God and be protective of the separation of church and state, you know, in terms of its operation. But in terms of its foundation, all government is founded on God's will that we have a social order that is respective of the dignity of human beings, and that we have compassion for one another. That is never lost. That is a charge for us to keep.
Wow, I really like that a lot. You know, there's always something going on in New Hope. I mean, it's just, you know, not only on Sundays, there's always something going on, and there's always something on the horizon at New Hope. So what's the next great thing we can expect or anticipate?
Well, we're going to turn our attention to our young people as September marks the event of the boys and men retreat, where our laymen celebrate their year-long mentoring of young people in a retreat where they can concentrate their efforts in teaching the Word of God and hearing the young people's heart and their concerns and fellowshipping with them intergenerationally, you know. And so that's always been a rich experience. Ideally, it happens in a remote location, in the mountains, at a Christian retreat site. But barring the ability to do that this year, we're having it on our own church location in mid-September. And I think it's still going to be very rewarding because our men are very committed to it and our young people are very excited about it. And then later in the month, I will celebrate my 50th year in ministry with my New Hope Church family. I've only been with New Hope for 5 years, but I've been in ministry for 50, and I don't have nobody else to celebrate it with except y'all. So, I'm gonna ask y'all to be thankful. Called me
50
years ago, so you could get me for the last five.
That's right. 50 years, that's a long time. Oh, my. How old were you when you started? I know you told us this before. How old were you when you started preaching?
I was 15.
Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. That is a long time. Wow, bless you. Now, Pastor, hopefully I didn't leave anything out. Is there anything else that you want to share with us before we depart?
I just want to share that God is great and God is good, and you ought to trust him to be great and good in your life. And all things will work together for good to them that love God and call according to his purpose. Stay on the Lord's side.
Amen, amen, amen. So now, would you please bless us with a prayer in closing?
Your graciousness, your faithfulness, your watchful care, your tender mercies, We thank you for all good gifts that come from above, because you watch over us, Lord, when we aren't paying attention ourselves, and you bless us, Lord, when we know we're not worthy. So we ask, Heavenly Father, that your word that we've heard today, fellowship of the saints of God, will strengthen us for the journey that is ahead, that your name will be glorified, that folk who need to know you by way of our witness will see you in our living and in our service and come to Christ themselves. And bless us, Lord, until we have this time again to walk in the light of your word and in your love and your power and your peace. And we'll be so pleased to give you the glory for all things you have done for us. Forgive us of our sins, shortcomings, mistakes, mishaps, and the errors of our ways. Let it be thrown in the sea of forgetfulness. And may we be found both fruitful and faithful in our walk with Jesus Christ. Hallelujah and amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. And we will see you next Sunday. But like you said, who's on the Lord's side, right?
Who's on the Lord's side?
Who's on the Lord's side? Ladies and gentlemen, this is and has been Hope Is Alive right here on Studio W, the Buzz Network, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, with the finest in broadcasting anywhere around the globe. Enjoy your Sunday.
Your name, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I get tired and sometimes I get weak. That's why I'm calling
your name,
'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm calling your name, Lord, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I get tired and sometimes I get weak. That's why I'm calling
your name.
Yeah, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
I'm praying this prayer right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Yeah, I'm praying this prayer right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now, Lord.
Well, sometimes I wake it up and sometimes I wake it up. That's why I'm calling
your name.
Yeah, 'cause I need you
right now, Lord.
Sing this song right now, 'cause I need you, Lord,
right now.
Song right now, 'cause I need you, Lord.
Right now, Lord.
Oh, sometimes I get tired, sometimes I get weak, but I'm calling, said I'm calling your name, 'cause I need you, Lord. Whoa, 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 yeah, yeah. Oh, put your hands together, Lord. Anybody love the Lord? To hold me
right now,
in the palm of your hand,
right now, Lord.
Sometimes I'm weak,
right now, Lord.
And sometimes I'm tired, Lord.
Right now, Lord.
And I need you to rock me
right now,
in the cradle of your own, Lord. Sometimes I'm down and I'm low.
Right now, Lord.
Sometimes I'm sick in my body,
right now, Lord.
Make it all right.